This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Welcome to it, man. This is the MUT Radio Vukubangene Breakfast Show. It's the only way to start your day. And today we are honored by the presence of Prof. Evan Ment Zeris. He's a professor, has a huge, amazing history. I'm just going to read ipayo yakhe. Evangelos Manzeris, retired research professor at MUT of at the Faculty of Management Sciences at MUT, and extraordinary professor at the School of Public Leadership at Stellenbosch University. Honors in political science, economics, sociology, cum laude at Pantinos University. He'll correct me with the pronunciation. In RSA, he holds a master's in sociology and a PhD at the University of Cape Town. He has published 10 full-scale book proceedings and Greek 45-peer reviewed chapters in books, 120 articles, and accredited national and international journals, 14 peer-reviewed international conference proceedings, and has presented papers in over 85 national and international conferences. He has completed 17 National Research Foundation, Human Science Research Council, and university fully funded research reports, and over 30 research initiatives and research-based technical reports for provincial and municipal government departments, municipalities, and NGOs. He has supervised 150 masters and 35 PhDs. These in South Africa and internationally. He has done research and training in national, provincial, and municipal leadership in South Africa. He has participated as a keynote speaker in all African Union's anti-corruption conferences and in Rwanda, South Africa, and Tanzania. Oh, we're speaking about one person here. Prof. Evan Manzeris is joining us in studio today to speak about his success, man, and everything. Prof, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio this morning.
No, good morning. Good morning, friends and colleagues. And I'm extremely happy and very moved by this one. Mm. And I'm prepared to tell you the truth of my life. Because research, you see, is a part of my existence.
Yes.
From the time I was very young, unlike many of my comrades and my colleagues throughout the country and throughout the world. Yeah.
Hmm. Prof, after all this work, you have since retired. How has retirement been treating you?
No, retirement is a word which says everything, precisely because there are two things that play a role on this one. Point one is that you have to have a life.
Mm.
In order to have a life, you have to have some money, or much money. The second one is that throughout my life, I really developed hell of a lot of theories and research strategies for a lot of things which I'll met you. And then I hope you won't think I'm talking lies.
Mm.
You see, because I must tell you how I started in South Africa, and we can take it from there.
Yes.
To see. First of all, everybody needs a life. And research is my life from the time I got my master's, and I continued. I'll tell you why. Because, you see, I first arrived in South Africa in 1917, July. That was 3 weeks after the 1917 July insurrection in Soweto, who started the armed struggle, you see. And when my uncle I stayed with in Cape Town asked me why I come to a South African university, you see, like UCT, I told him because the first thing I came here is because I wanted to support what's really happening in Soweto.
Mm.
And I was very lucky because he thought it was a joke, which it was not. But you see, I was also very lucky because my research methods and realities took place because About 4 weeks after I arrived here, I was offered a job by American marketing company. Mm. Marketing wasn't really my thing, but I learned a lot of things. And then obviously I continued studying for my master's and my PhD at UCT. And at UCT, I became one of the people who saw that in order to make a career in academia, the most important thing is your research. Mm. That's why you see at UCT, when I was doing my master's and then my PhD, I had job, part-time job as, a lecturer in economics,
yes,
and sociology. Mm. And I was extremely lucky because, I learned hell of a lot by two people. One was my supervisor, professor Ken Jabba. Mm. I was extremely lucky because the professor was married to a Greek woman, mm, so the situation was carrying on well.
Yes.
Secondly, in economics also, what was very interesting because three quarters of the lecturers there and the professors and everybody were Jews. Mm. Okay. Now, you see, in a situation like this means that after I finished my master's and my PhD, the first thing I did was start and doing research. Mm. At a hell of a lot of combinations, you see.
Okay.
Then when I got my job at UDW, you see, which was a traditionally Indian university, you see,
yes,
I start getting very interested in the Jewish community and in the Indian community, and I started doing research on that.
Mm.
You see, in those days, you remember, there were no Google and all these kind of things.
Yes.
You read newspapers,
wow,
and books and all these kind of things, right?
Yeah.
And after that, you see, after that, I'll give you an example. What UDW for me, mm, it was a new life. It was so beautiful. And so brotherhood, there was a brotherhood there.
Mm.
And then you see, I had this, you know, my research taught me a lot of things. The most important thing was a lot of Indian students and academics came to me and told me in a period, the apartheid government at that time have decided to send 1,500 African students to UDW because UDW, mm, didn't have making a lot of money.
Wow.
So now, my Indian students who loved me because I was cracking jokes when I was teaching, they came to me, I was a doctor at that time.
Mm.
Doc, what's really happening? Tell us, you are a sociologist. I reckon, don't worry. In 5 days to a week, everything, you'll be sisters and brothers with these people.
Yes. Wow.
And yeah, you see, now all these kind of things were based on my research. And then you see, after that, UCT, I lost my job, mm-hmm, right?
Okay.
From UDW. I went straight into research because some of the people in my life who saved my life financially, it is. And I got a job at Stellenbosch University.
Mm.
And I started doing research on corruption.
Okay.
I must say I'm not making a big story about my name and my reputation.
Mm.
Is that I was the first academic who start writing about academically on corruption and anti-corruption.
Wow.
And most of me, the vast majority of my articles from that time to now is on corruption.
Mm.
But after that, I started getting very, very much interested about cooperatives, mm, about cooperatives, you see.
Mm.
That's, and you see, I love the situation here as a retired professor here precisely because despite the reality that I have to publish so I can bring money to the university, the other thing is I had to supervise masters and PhDs of the management faculty. So we are the best faculty in that, because now yesterday or the day before yesterday, I thought we have with the seventh PhD who finished.
Wow. Yeah, right. That's amazing. Amazing.
It's just like, no, I still continue now. And, that's why you see, I never realized that I was so popular here.
Yeah, you are.
To most of the staff, like.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, Prof.
But, I can wait. I mean, that was a background of my past, you see.
Wow.
Now we can talk about the other parts of my life.
Yes, Prof. You speak so passionately about research and about, you know, especially research in academics, or with academics rather, and then academic stuff. What do you think is the importance of research for people who are working as academics?
Without, you see, ask anybody, in terms of your name and in terms of your, you making a life, because you have a job, is basically, the more you research and the more you produce, you become. I mean, look at our brilliant, vice chancellor, for example, you see. I mean, if you look at when she got the job the first day, and I saw her in the newspapers and the MUT places,
yes,
is that the first thing I do always is I Google her, and the Google, like, gee, how many? And I freaked out, because the lady is a genius. Like, I mean, she published a lot, you see, and she published at the thing which is so important for human beings, like, you see. And this is the situation. And if you look at people, some of my colleagues and comrades here, you can see that they produce so much, like in engineering, so much in what's really happening.
Yes.
Yeah, agriculture and all these kind of things. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the major foundations of the university is how all these kind of situations that happen so well in the university become in the newspapers, in the ITs, and all these kind of things, you see. So people know.
Yes.
So people know what's really happening. I mean, that's the most important thing I see.
Mm.
And it's going very well. I mean, we must say it's going very well. Yeah.
No, lovely, man. We are so happy to have the prof as our vice chancellor. She's doing really amazing at MUT. But speaking of MUT, let's take you back to your days at MUT. How was that like for you? When was it? And maybe which position did you were you holding at the time at MUT?
Sure. No, you see, like, because of my age, you see, it's difficult to remember.
Yes.
But you see, I can tell you, when I lost the job because of this, that, and the other, the first step was I applied to the to MUT, and I got the jobs.
Mm.
And I must say, I haven't seen a better vice chancellor, like, not only MUT, I mean throughout South Africa, precisely because it all depends what you do and what you publish, you see.
Yes.
And no, you see, now I must say that I don't know if it's correct or not, like, because the guy I wrote the article with told me, no, I mustn't mention that.
See, okay.
See? No, you see, like, in 2011, there was a very, very big strike.
Okay.
Yeah. So I must say, although all my life I was a trade unionist, I knew that if I got involved there, the situation is serious,
yes,
about me. But you see, as a researcher, I did my research, you see. I followed what's really happening. I took photographs and all these kind of things.
Yes.
And I have a person, I supervised his PhD, and And he was a part of the not very active, but he was a part of the
union.
Of the strike.
Okay,
not the union.
The strike.
The strike. Mm. And he's brilliant, like in counting, like.
Okay.
But we wrote a major article. I think, you know, I mean, one of the best one. I think possibly the best. I mean, it's quite long with him. And when I asked him, must we publish it internationally or nationally or whatever it is, he reckoned no, because we'll have problem with the leaders.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, the situation
was that tense.
But that was 2011. Like it was like, no, it was first page in the newspapers.
Wow.
It took a lot of, and you know, I interviewed on my, in my job was to interview staff members to find how the Indian, this is what really happens, like in the article.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes I ask my co-writer, don't you think it's a good idea to go to the director of research, like to ask whether Ireko, no, don't do it. And I follow it, but because I trust him and we have a very good relationship. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, no.
Can you mention him?
No, no.
Okay.
No,
no problem. No, Prof, you have done amazing. When I look at your biography, like I'm inspired. As young as at my age, I'm inspired. And recently, EMUT held its 2024 Research Awards. And you were one of the people who received that award. Tell us about that moment. What does that award mean to Prof Manzaris?
Yeah, no, you see, I must tell you, because possibly you are not there, you see.
Mm.
There were 11 or 12 people who won it.
Mm.
And I was the last, you see.
Okay.
And then when I went over there, I was so excited, you see, when I heard my name. When we went in, they having some music, like from Babes Wodum, or I don't know what it was. And I started dancing, and people started laughing and clapping and all that, you see. And
wow. No, you always, you know, they always say you save the best for last.
But you see, like the thanks, but you see, the problem, no, the major good thing that happened in that meeting, night meeting, was I freaked out because at least 4 people came and hugged me. I didn't remember names.
Wow.
I didn't, and all of them were from UDW.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
There were about 2 Africans and another one.
You do not even remember them?
I don't remember the faces. I don't remember the names. But I found the Indian professor. Mm. I found his name.
Okay.
I can't pronounce it.
Yes.
But you see, when I looked my Google thing, I also freaked out because the person is a genius.
Mm. Wow!
He's got a. No, I won't mention that.
No problem. No problem. But no, thank you so much, Prof. It was really a good conversation to have with you, and just to find out about your life. You have really worked. I'm sure now you are enjoying your time with the grandkids. I'm not sure, but you are enjoying your time with just family and loved ones, and just living a happy life afterwards.
No. My life is very happy in Durban. Yeah, sure. But the most important thing in life now, I mean, is like I can tell you why I'm so happy when we meet outside, like for coffee.
Yeah. No problem, Prof. But your last words to the staff and probably students of MUT, just to inspire them and the, just to highlight on the importance of research as well to the staff.
Yeah, I must tell you something. Things. That's a brilliant question. I'll tell you why. Because you see, because I've got very good relationship with people in all faculties, you see, I ask them straight. Because now, as you know, better than me, is that now they're writing exams.
Yes.
So the people, now they have to mark.
Yes.
So this morning, the guy who gave me the lift, I asked him, brother, how's the things? So I went to his office and he sold me like, 200 second year, 200, 260, and 3.5 quarters of them have already passed.
Wow.
Which means that the reality of teaching and research and everything has played a very important role in the thing. And you see, the most important thing in life for me is that like the students, because they are young and they are the future of the country. You see, now if I tell you how many government people have gone through my hand, you'll freak out. But you see, the situation is that quite a lot of them are very nice and they make good things in South Africa. Mm. But there are also quite a few, who actually have been worse corrupt ones, right?
Yes.
And I must tell you, I receive a phone call every three, four days by one of my ex-students who's done extremely well, not in politics.
Yes.
Mr. Mslongo,
okay.
he's from the other big township.
Okay,
he is the man who runs the biggest African group of singers and players who have. He's so successful. He's from Kwamashu.
Mm.
He still lives in Kwamashu with a big family there. And this group he has created, and they belong to him. They have been throughout Africa. They've been in New York, in USA. They've been to Europe, everywhere. Passing there. Yeah.
Wow.
But he still calls me. He wants to finish a PhD. I told him no. Call me. And come and see me.
Exactly. Now, beautiful. No, thank you so much, Prof. Really appreciate your time and for being here physically, for honoring with your presence, for honoring us with your presence at MUT Radio. We really appreciate you. We really wish you all the best, man, throughout the rest of your life. And we're about to play you that Babes What Dumo song.
The pride is on my side, my brother.
No,
thanks for everything. I'm very moved, I must say.
Thank you so much, Prof. Really appreciate it.
And I hope my story won't send me out of the place.
No, definitely. It wouldn't. That was Prof. Ivan Menzeres, who was joining us in studio. We're speaking with him today.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.